Coming live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who is always the last pick in any schoolyard pick. Rob Cesternino, hello everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast, voicemail edition for week number 9. Very excited to bring in today Megan Z, great friend of the podcast, somebody that I've been talking to about the show for many years. I think you're going to enjoy hearing her. We had her on during the summer to talk about TEOS soundboard clips that we should add. Should be a lot of fun to go through all of the feedback in what was a very wild episode of Survivor this week. Of course, the know-it-alls is up, and of course, my exit interview with Tails. That's on Rob's website, but our interview with Spencer, I really thought that Spencer came in and did a really good job talking about this season. He has a great perspective on everything. He also just started up his own podcast, which is about helping people deal with mental health issues, which is a very noble thing that he's doing. So I highly suggest you check out that podcast as well if you haven't. And one other quick thing before we bring Megan in, I just want to thank everybody who has been using our links for Amazon.com. Of course, the big holiday shopping season kicks off next week. Amazon's got a bunch of countdown to Black Friday deals going on. They have deals of the day and constantly are giving you ideas for different gifts to get for people. I know that I am always so stumped with everything and I end up just like scrolling through the pages and hopefully I find something. So whether you know what you're looking for or you want to check out what's on sale, robisthewebsite.com/Amazon or robisthewebsite.com/AmazonCA for our listeners in Canada, or just click the banner in the sidebar of robisthewebsite.com. All right, everybody, I'm very excited to bring this person here with us on the voicemail podcast. You heard her over the summer for the first time on the podcast as a guest when she talked with me about the list of sounds that should be added to the RHAP soundboard from TEOS. She is a longtime fan of Rob Has a Podcast and a big Survivor fan. I'm very excited to have her here with us on the voicemails for the very first time. The great Megan Z. Megan, how are you?
Rob, I'm great. Much like David, I'm uncomfortable and I'm stunned to be here.
Yes. Very excited to have you here. People really loved the TEOS podcast that we did over the summer. So very exciting.
It's real.
Good.
Yes, it's real and it's happening. So here we are, Megan. Now, I just say that you're Megan Z because I can't pronounce your last name or I don't want to get it wrong. Just like I had over this past week when I got a tweet from Sunday Burquest who said, hey, there's 80 different ways to pronounce my last name, but the correct way is Burquest, like the people that used to go look for Verlocks.
Yes. Sunday loves the fates, I hear.
Yes. So I want to. So what is the correct pronunciation, Megan?
Oh boy. Well, the correct pronunciation is Zemanski, but Megan Z works just fine for me.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said it that way.
I should have made you guess first, and it would have been horribly embarrassing.
Would have been a fun game to play on the podcast. But anyway, I'm very excited to have you here with us. That you have an encyclopedia of knowledge of both Survivor and Rob Has a Podcast. I mean, you are so dedicated to the podcast. You have even recently completed a Celebrity Apprentice rewatch. Is that correct?
That is correct. And I thoroughly encourage anybody to do that. Thanksgiving break. You have a little time on a Sunday. You know, just pop in those seasons. Watch Bret Michaels do those tour bus thrusts.
Yes.
And, you know, life will be fine again.
Okay. I don't know. There's so many questions I have for you about things you may not have learned, but we'll save that for another day as we get closer and closer to what's coming up. All right. So, Megan, let's talk about this week and Survivor and the Millennials and the Gen X. You know, Megan, I don't know exactly what your age is, but I'm assuming you're a Millennial, Megan, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Millennial Megan. And so here you are. Have you learned anything about your generation watching this season?
I mean, I've learned a lot of bad things about my generation.
Yes. Like what?
So today I ended up in a deep, dark place, the Survivor fan page on Facebook.
Yes.
Because I was like, you know what? I want to get connected to the people. And then I quickly did not want to be connected to the people because everybody was talking about how Taylor, such a classic millennial.
Yes.
Like, everything he does, spot on millennial. And I was like, this is not good. I need to run away very quickly.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned that. And I actually have something for you. You know, I don't have any Rupert tweets for you, but I do have another game, which is about the Survivor Facebook page. So do you want to just jump right into that?
I've totally ruined the whole show and put it on backwards order. I will say I purposely have never followed Rupert on Twitter for this exact reason. And what a disaster all the years of Rupert tweets I could have been watching and enjoying, but instead, utter disaster. And I flipped the show backwards order.
Yes. So everything is on its head. And so, I mean, so since you're here, let's play this new game that okay. I have for you. For this week, it needs a name. It needs a name. But basically, I am going to give you, and we've played different variations of this before, but sure. I have different quotes from the Survivor Facebook page written by presumably the casual fans of Survivor. And okay. if they were not casual fans, they probably wouldn't be on the Survivor Facebook page. But these are comments that were actually written on the Survivor Facebook wall. And I'm going to give you one that was a very popular comment and one that was not a popular comment. And you have to guess which one was the popular comment.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. All right. So here we are. So let's jump into this. Okay. So round one, that a person named Ken Meters wrote, try to get some people on the show that do something besides talk, go fishing, etc. Sure miss Ozzy and Boston Rob. Too much Big Brother! Exclamation point. Not sure exactly what the too much Big Brother, if Survivor has turned into too much like Big Brother, or he's watched too much Big Brother and now he's spoiled.
I think he's just been watching too much OTT and he just can't handle anything right now.
Okay. Then the other quote I have to read to you is from a woman named Becky Smith who wrote, I'm so glad Taylor got votes off. Stealing food is dirty on Survivor. He seems like a real douchebag.
Through that.
That's it?
That's it. That's it.
Okay.
One of these got 9 likes. The other got 124 likes.
You know, I'm tempted to say that maybe if I'm a casual Survivor fan, I'm just scrolling through. I see the word Boston Rob. I'm like, I know who that is. Like Ozzy, that's somebody I kind of sort of remember. Like, so I'm going to go with the first one is very popular or popular.
That's very popular. And
no pumpkin. No,
no, I'm sorry that I am so glad Taylor got votes off. Stealing food is dirty on Survivor. He seems like a real douchebag. That's the quote that got 124 likes on Facebook.
Well, Becky Smith does sound like a casual name.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Here we go. Round two.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Okay. One of these got 2 likes. The other got 159 likes on the Survivor Facebook page.
Here we go.
All right. Mary Osuna wrote, it was the single most immature thing I have ever witnessed and encompasses everything I dislike about the millennials. They most certainly are not a very good representation of the quote unquote younger generation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is from another person who writes in, so darn happy that the self-centered douche Taylor is gone. If I was his parents, I'd be so embarrassed how he acted. Stealing food from the rest of the people and thought it was funny. In real life, I'd all caps never trust a person like that. All caps ever. I hope this guy's starts learning some hardcore life lessons and soon.
Little do they know what life lessons Taylor is learning right now.
Yes, yes. He's very learned in life.
Considering number two seems to mirror what Becky Smith said in the first one, and she's the only name I'm going to remember from any of these. So I'm going to go with the second one here.
No pumpkin.
Oh, see?
Oh, my gosh.
I know that's what you would think, but no, it turns out that it was the single most immature thing I've ever witnessed and encompasses everything I dislike about millennials.
they are certainly not a good representation of the younger generation. That was the quote that had 159 likes. You have to remember, the Survivor Facebook fans hate the millennials. They hate anything about millennials. And so when you say millennials suck, they like that.
Okay. All right. I'll have to remember that. Millennials suck. Millennials suck. I just keep saying it in my head. Millennials suck. Okay.
Okay. All right. Round three.
Oh my gosh. There's another round for me to lose.
Yes. Yes. Okay. One of these got 87 likes. The other one has only one like.
Okay.
Okay. This is from Alicia Terrell, who said, that was all caps. Awesome. Seeing Taylor leave just kept me smiling all night. What a great big idiot. So now he's going to go buy a boat with his brains and good looks, apparently, and sail around the world. Okay, first, let's move out of your mom's basement. Oh, and a job would be nice. Pay some taxes, Taylor. Okay, that's one quote.
I'm sure, pretty sure the first survivor not to pay taxes was not a millennial, but okay.
All right. And then Tanya Skufka says, this young man needs to learn some basic manners. You don't steal food from a group of people, some on your own team. I thought this was after the merge, but he's outright disgusting. Too bad. We have to see his low life face on the jury. Okay. One of these got 87 likes. The other one, only one like.
Okay. I'm going to ignore the fact that I think you're trying to trick me here and still go with number one, because they mentioned the live in your parents' basement thing and the taxes thing. And so I'm going with number one.
Okay.
Ding, ka-ching, ka-ching.
That is right. That is
I
right.
finally understand these people.
Okay. That's fine. Okay. One last one. This is like, just a bonus round. Okay.
None of these are by Billy Garcia.
These are all real. Okay. This is not as popular. One of these has 25 likes. The other one has 3. Okay. Identify which one is more popular. Ellen B writes in to Facebook and she says, he was annoying because he wanted to get revenge for Figgy. Dude, you're playing a game for $1 million. Figgy has probably moved on and you blew your chance in the game. Oh, and you're a douche for stealing food. That seems to be the favorite word of the Survivor casual fan.
I sense a common thread here. Okay.
And then the other option is from Darius Darius, who says,
what?
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
He writes, Brett is a F animal. Go Russell Hance, best Survivor ever, Russell. All right, Megan.
I'm going to tell you which one, if I could find it, I would like, just because I feel like it needs some more respect. But all right, I'm going to go with the first one. Not Darius Darius, Darius's.
Yes. Okay, and I'm happy to say.
Ding, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Okay. You ended up on fire at the end. Yeah, only 3 likes so far for Darius Darius, who said, Brett is a F animal. Go Russell Hance, best Survivor ever, Russell.
There was no point doubler here, like in the This Week in Survivor history quiz.
No, there was not.
I don't even like the Boston Red Sox.
Best Survivor ever. Okay. So, all right. So we got right into it and we're off to a flying start talking about the Survivor Facebook page as we go along here. But okay. So we got talking about Taylor, who some people on the Survivor Facebook page are calling a douche, but he is out of the game. I did my exit interview with him this morning. Did you get a chance to listen to that?
I sure did. Yes.
What did you think of Tails on the exit interview?
I think that Taylor, I mean, we see a lot of people who maybe try to be someone who they're not on the show. I think Taylor is exactly the character that you see on the show. You know, you guys spoke bro to bro and he seemed to still be okay with his plan. You know, he said he had some time that he let his mind run wild at Ponderosa, but he seems still okay with his plan.
I didn't want to break anything to him, but he's talking a lot about like he wants to travel and he wants to do all these things. And I just want to tell him like, well, you know, you can make a lot of these plans, but boy, having a kid is really going to slow you down.
Yeah, Rob, have you gotten to take your sailboat out lately?
No, I have not been out lately. on the boat. I'm sad to say.
Bro, I know.
Rob, if you, since now that you and Taylor are clearly bros,
yes.
If you were to help him name his sailboat, what would you help him name it?
Boy, the Taylor sailboat. I mean, I feel like that there's something there. Fig sails. Is there anything there? Tail sails?
I think there is something there. No, I think fig sails is good.
Fig sails? Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I feel kind of bad because I was on the Survivor Reddit and I like to check out what everybody is saying, of course, not just with the casuals on Facebook, but the super duper fans on Reddit and see what they're saying as well. And there was a whole thread about cannot wait for RHAP exit interview. And I felt like that there were some people that really wanted me to come down on Taylor, and I really wasn't sure what I was supposed to be killing him for.
I think that game-wise, you asked him the questions you needed to. I was a little hesitant on whether you were going to end up asking the personal questions that I was looking forward to answers to at the end, but you covered it all. You covered all the bases.
Yeah, I really was unsure which way to go through first. I read some other interviews. I know Josh talked about the game first. Didn't really go too much into the personal. Gordon Holmes opened with the personal. I felt like I had a duty to get into talking about the game. But then I felt like, you know, I'm at least going to ask the questions, even though I felt like a little bit was, you know, didn't really get into too many of the personal details. He was pretty political.
Do you think that Jeff will bring this up at the reunion? And will this be the closest to an episode of Maury we've ever had on Survivor?
I mean, it's pretty wild. You know, I don't think that he is going to be having any hard feelings towards Figgy. Figgy seems to be the one who has hard feelings for him. But I think that it's got to come up at the reunion. I mean, I think that, again, for all of the casual fans that watch the show, you know, figure, you know, 8 million, 9 million people watch the show. Most of them have never, you know, looked at anything about Survivor on the internet. So how would you even know about this? You know, you figure that, like, you know, 95% of the people that watch the show have never listened to an exit interview or anything like that. So I would guess that Jeff has to bring it up just for the sake of, you know, people are going to be saying, like, oh, Taylor and Figgy, are they married yet?
Or they're pulling him to pull, like, yeah, a full Murphy.
A full Murphy. Well,
I had hope.
Well, we have to see if he makes a big speech at the final tribal council. But yeah, I guess that's a possibility. But no, I mean, you would think that you would maybe Mrs. Taylor is going to be out there in, with the baby, even maybe. I don't know. I think the baby is due imminently.
Oh, my gosh. This is so much pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. So I'm sure it'll come up at the reunion.
Could you imagine if Sia's holding the baby, or like Cochran's always in the audience? They're like, Cochran holding the baby of Taylor and not Figgy. It's just like, what has happened to this reunion show that used to be? It wasn't normal. Then it wasn't even more normal when like Rosie hosted it. And then we got on like a really straight and narrow path. And now it has just gone wild.
Yeah. Who would be the better babysitter, Sia or Cochran?
I mean, Sia can't see the baby through her wigs, so I think you got to go with Cochran.
I think the baby might take the wig off. I feel like that would be something very dangly that the baby would want to get its little baby hands on.
You would know better than I what babies are grabbing at, so I'll defer to you on whether babies would grab Sia's large wig, and this has absolutely all gone off the rails also. We haven't even gotten to a voicemail, and this whole thing has gone off the rails.
All right. So then I want to play for you our first voicemail, which happens to be about Taylor. Okay. This is from Millennial Max from Michigan.
Sure.
Here is his question about Taylor.
Hey, Rob. Millennial Max from Michigan. Do you think we've been a little hard on Taylor? I know I have been. But early on in the episode, Taylor recited this beautiful poem that would just bring a tear to Stephen Fishback's eye. In case you missed it, let me recite it for you. He said, "You know, there are only so many people you can trust in this game. And when they're gone, freaking suck, man." Wasn't that beautiful?
Yes, wasn't that nice?
I'm thinking about getting that tattooed on my lower back. That's what I'm doing right now.
The whole thing.
Perhaps I may need to shorten some of the words.
Yeah. Taylor really, he did have a way with words. I mean, I think that people are really piling on, and he wasn't a good player. But I do think that he is the kind of person that I am happy that he was cast on the season, because, I mean, he really did, especially the drama with him and Figgy. I feel like that those are the kinds of things, like, look, they didn't get close. They wouldn't be good winners of the season, but they gave us a lot to talk about here through 9 weeks of Survivor. And what else could we ask for?
I think he provided great entertainment. I can't get enough of how, you know, let's say a whole 20% of the episode was talking about his seemingly Mary Poppins bag of mason jars that he, it was just this endless thing that it just, you saw clips of it like 7 or 8 times. He went back to the mason jar and it kept refilling with, maybe that's why he was like, is it a date? Is it a peach? I don't know. I just reach down deep and something different comes out each time.
Yeah, he's just eating things in the dark.
This is my best idea ever.
Yeah, his best idea ever. Again, talk about damning with faint praise.
Oh, well, it was his best idea then, you know?
Yeah. Megan, do we have any nominees for Taylor's worst idea ever?
Rob, I'm not sure. Do you?
Prove that.
I don't know. Maybe the people listening can come up with something.
Maybe the people. I'm stumped.
Yes. How about this in terms of Taylor? I don't know if you're thrilled if, you know, your daughter comes home with Taylor, but I felt like as a TV character, he did add a lot to this season. He is out of the game and never had a chance to actually win the game. What would be your take on Taylor as an all-star?
I actually wouldn't mind Taylor as an all-star. Now, is this a Survivor Rivals and Figgy is there too?
Oh, wow. That time,
I'm loving it. Taylor and his big blue eyes are going to come and his hungry, hungry hippo appetite. And I think that could be very interesting.
Yeah, I think that that would be a very exciting season if that could potentially happen. So let me just ask, is he the best person in his demographic? Like, would you rather have him or Eddie Fox, or, you know, who is the best sort of charismatic bro-y doofus that we could find?
I mean, if you're taking out Fabio, who's a winner, I think Taylor has the great recency bias. I think he's got the drama backing him. I mean, certainly there's a lot of surfer bros that you could pick from. I mean, he's certainly going to beat out Carter any day of the week to show up in this spot. But I mean, the only thing it comes down to is one of the Christie brothers.
Oh, I forgot about Drew Christie.
And that's where it gets tough, because you forget how much, how many great decisions the Christie brothers made and Drew Christie. It's tough, you know, unless we've switched the season altogether. Maybe we have a buddy system and Taylor and one of the Christie brothers are buddies and they have to work as a team together.
So basically, I'm a badass.
Yeah.
It'll be as smooth as cream cheese.
I do feel like that Taylor was more jolly than Drew Christie. I feel like that Drew Christie seemed to be a little bit meaner.
That's true, but he also had a little bit of the delusion.
Yes,
if I could diagnose it properly, that is also fun to play with, where somebody thinks they are an A1 strategist and really they're not quite hitting that mark. Although, you know, obviously props for calling the Wentworth thing.
Yes. Big props to that. All right. So I would not be angry to see Taylor again. You know, I would hate to see somebody more deserving lose a spot before, because he was coming back. But I feel like that there's something there to the person who is just has like the almost no self-awareness and is getting the Dodo music. Like, it adds something to the show for me.
And there's a little bit of innocence behind him where it's just, he's just going along. He's doing his own thing. And he's not, I mean, he said he watched the show in the episodes today, but it didn't feel like he was tainted by anything he had seen.
It was fun. It was a fun ride here in Millennials versus Gen X.
Would you rather have Taylor or Jay as an all-star?
Oh, Jay, without a doubt.
Okay. Yeah.
So maybe, you know, that maybe we answered this very question where I think that maybe Taylor loses this all-star spot to Jay, where maybe you have a better version of this, like a more fully formed version of this player who actually could make moves, but is also giving you sort of like some funny confessional stuff.
I mean, the Michaela moment with Jay is so great. I have to tell you, I watched the Michaela boot on an airplane. I was on a cross-country flight, and I had such a facial reaction to it that the flight attendant came up to me and asked me if I was getting good news or bad news and if I was okay, because I just had such a look on my face like, is this person going to survive on the plane? Does she need help? But it was, Jay gave such a great moment there.
Yeah. Wow. They almost had to land the plane, an emergency landing, because of Michaela.
Wouldn't that be a story to tell?
Yeah. People would be so mad on that flight.
Completely. Absolutely. That we, you know, ended up somewhere in Iowa because my facial spasms of the Michaela boot.
Yes. People would be very upset. All right. Since we're talking about Jay and Taylor, let me play for you this question from our own Alex Kidwell. Here's Alex.
I need to recap this sequence of events between Jay and Taylor just to make sure I'm not crazy. So Jay basically throws Taylor under the bus with the food stuff. Then Jay calls Taylor a dumb surfer bro and implies he's beneath him. Then Jay votes Taylor out. And then Taylor tells us he's so lucky to have made such a good friend as Jay. Is that what just happened?
Yeah.
I lived through a hurricane, made a new great friend. His name's Jay. I got a girlfriend, and hopefully we're going to buy a sailboat.
Uh-oh.
If this was the Family Feud, Taylor's getting three X's on one of those three things he has.
Yeah. Yeah, the sailboat thing is rough. I think that that's probably not gonna happen, so don't hope he didn't put a down payment on the sailboat
the SS fig sales.
So in terms of the friendship, the bro-alliance between Jay and Taylor, so was Jay a bad friend?
I mean, I think Jay did what he needed to do in his game. I feel kind of bad for Will in all of this, that Will was, you know, kind of like the little brother who hung out with them, and he didn't get a shout out even in the Taylor talking about the bromance. It's like, you, Will, you never even mattered. But I think that Taylor and Jay will mend their fences here.
Yeah. I mean, Alex makes a good point of that. We did see Jay vote for Taylor. I mean, Taylor voted for Adam. And, you know, he was mentioning about, you know, the food, and then also about, hey, he's a dumb surfer guy. So, I mean, I guess you could argue that maybe if you say he's dumb, people will say, oh, Adam is smart, we need to get rid of him. But yeah, it seems like that maybe in some way there's some sort of a mirror between the Figgy and Taylor relationship, that maybe Jay isn't as into Taylor as Taylor was into Jay.
Kind of like your, that's different than your Sex in the City theory.
Yes. That's where everybody is friends with Zeke, but not necessarily friends with each other.
Correct. Yes.
So that's different. Yeah. So Jay, I think, is definitely the savvier of the two players for sure. I even gave him a fishy this week.
Do you think Jay's the villain of the season?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that he's too charismatic to be the villain. I know a lot of people were down on him with the Michaela thing, but now he's the underdog. It's hard to be the villain and the underdog.
Is there a villain of the season?
I would say not yet. Not currently right now. I think that we said Figgy and Taylor were probably it, and now they're gone. So I don't believe that there is at this point. And do you feel like we need one, Megan?
I mean, I love having somebody, and it doesn't even need to be a villain. I love having somebody to root against. So I love rooting against Savage, or personally, Jane from Nicaragua. I like having somebody to root against, but you're right. I mean, the only person I could think that somebody may say is a villain is maybe Jay, but he doesn't ooze villain at all.
No, I don't think so. So I don't think that he is, although he has been very hard on Adam. He called him an a-hole.
He did, but Adam was a little bit of an a-hole in the water to him.
Did you think so? That I thought that Adam was trying to say, you know, I had to do what I had to do to stay in the game.
See, Adam is also an underdog, but, and I think Adam's likable, But I don't know if everybody else fan-wise thinks that Adam is likable.
Why? And backlash?
Maybe a little bit of backlash, maybe a little bit of, I don't know. I think that sometimes maybe he comes off a little bit arrogant, but it's good. I'm excited that this week that Spencer's on, because, I mean, Adam and him have a lot of similarities beyond the fact that they both enunciate extremely well, which I would say is the greatest similarity between them both. Because I don't know if is Adam Charlie Brown? Who keeps getting the football pulled away? I don't think Adam is quite as Charlie Brownish as Spencer is. Either way, they both have great diction.
Yes. Impressive diction. This was Adam with Jay. That's such a funny thing about the enunciation, going back to Spencer, especially the way that Josh Wigler does his impression in Evolution of Strategy, chapter 28. But here's a little bit of Jay and Adam in the water.
So I am on the bottom.
Of course.
Yes. It's really put a point on that for Jay.
But why even bother to say, of course, you're on the bottom in such a way? I don't know. I think it's the way that it comes off that makes it seem a little arrogant to me. I like Adam. I like him a lot, but it comes off a little arrogant sometimes to me.
Yeah, I do think that Adam was trying to do the right thing and really trying to tell the truth about what was going on. Jay was like, so what are you saying, man? You're saying that. And
of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
So he's really just trying to like be a straight shooter with everybody. But, you know, that sometimes, just like I was talking about with T-Bird, the truth and trust is not like people that you get more trust by not telling the exact truth.
That is true.
Like, you should not always be telling everybody exactly what's going on. That's not good.
I agree with you on that, too.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of an issue for Adam moving forward. And I do hope that he can correct that. But even Zeke and Hannah were really like, we saw them last week talking about how they wanted to vote him out. And even this week, they were like, really, oh, my God, are you kidding me? Like, oh, Adam is the worst.
But Zeke somehow can do that and still be incredibly likable. And he's friends with everybody. At the beginning of the season, he talked about how he was ready for like a mixer at the retirement club or wherever he said he was going. But I really do feel like he is, where he's somebody where you could throw him in any setting. And it's like, oh, I have my best friend Marge over here. Walter and I are BFFs. We're going to do shuffleboard tomorrow. Bingo with Pearl on Thursday. Like, you could put him in any situation. And he's your instant BFF.
So any tribe you could throw Zeke on, he'll be fine.
I think so.
Yeah.
From a social perspective.
It's a good note. It's a good note. All right. Let me play a question for you from Megan Y, continuing our discussion of Jay.
Hey, Rob and Megan Z. This is Megan Y from Akron, Ohio. I'm curious to hear Megan's thoughts on Jay. I'm a huge Jay fan myself, but it seems like a lot of people are down on him the past couple of weeks. What are your thoughts on him as a character and as a strategic player? Love to hear your thoughts. Thanks. Bye.
Do you want to add anything on to him as a strategic player? That I did argue in Steven's People blog that I felt like that I didn't know who to give the fishy to, but I argued it was Jay because I felt like that Jay was kind of dead in the water. And I feel like that there are cracks for him moving forward, considering that he has this relationship with Hannah and a little bit of a relationship with Zeke, and Sunday is talking to him and trying to get this play against Gen X Jessica. So I felt like that he's done a good job and he still has the idol, where I don't think it's a foregone conclusion he goes home in the first hour of this 2-hour episode next week. Do you think much of Jay as a strategist?
I think he's kind of earning his stripes a little bit as he goes. And this is going to be the testament, because you're right. There's, as Sophie talked about yesterday, which Sophie did a very clean job on the know-it-alls yesterday.
Very clean.
Is that there are all these different fractions going on in the tribe, and there's a lot of spots for Jay to wiggle his way in. And I think that there's a good opportunity here. I mean, you mentioned all the different segments going on in the tribe, and I think he can do it. I think he's going to work his way in, because everybody is comfortable talking to the person at the bottom because they have nothing to lose talking to them if they all think Jay's going to go. But if somebody tells something to Jay that, you know, that information can become currency for Jay, and he can work his way into an alliance.
Yeah. I think that he is a very fun player to have around this season. And, you know, I feel like that we're really on to something about potentially, I think he has all-star potential for Jay.
I agree with you on that.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about something that you touched on earlier. And this is from, we heard from Millennial Max. This is, I believe, Millennial Max's mom that has a question about Will.
Hi, Rob. This is Max's mom from Michigan. I'm a first-time caller, and I have a question. It's about Jeff and Will. How come Jeff is always reminding Will that he can't have alcoholic beverages and he can only have soda? I know he's young. He's only about 18, but I don't ever recall Jeff doing this with any other players in the past. Any thoughts? Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Do you feel like, is this a thing where that Jeff is always telling Will how young he is and how he can't have any alcoholic beverages?
Did Jeff call out Nat 10 on this? Was Nat 10 21?
I believe that he did. If my memory serves, I don't remember if this was a thing with Julia Sokolowski last season, but I do seem to remember that Jeff was on this with Natalie going back to season 22. So I don't think that this is, you know, uncharted territory.
I mean, I think Jeff's just going into, you know, you could call it dad mode, but I more think it's executive producer mode of, as you mentioned before, there's no benefit to showing Will drinking. I mean, even if you get some sort of crazy hangover-esque scene where Will just like loses it and can't handle his alcohol, it's really just more of a hot mess. You're not going to gain anything from the show. They probably would edit it all out. You know what? Maybe on an earlier challenge, Will did drink and things got so crazy that they now had to remind him every challenge, like, Will, we can't do what we did last time. You know, so many crew members had to clean up for hours. Right, you're done. Right. You're cut off.
Will is like the Survivor equivalent of the kid in Home Alone with the glasses. We're like, hey, Fuller, easy on the Pepsi. You remember, you wet the bed. Easy on the Pepsi, Fuller. Yes. Now, here's my question for you. What would happen if Will was like 20 years old and 11 months and 2 weeks and had his 21st birthday on the season? Like, let's say it's his 21st birthday on day 26. Do you think that Survivor would then allow him to drink if he won a reward challenge that was after his 21st birthday? Or if you enter the season not being 21, it's too confusing to the audience to explain. No, he actually did turn 21, so now he can drink on the season.
I think we're whipping out Danny Boatwright's pool. We're having a pool party, and I think Will's getting to enjoy his first warm Bud Light out on the island.
You think that that's a thing?
I think that's a thing because I think they would make enough of a deal about it. I mean, when it was Rodney's birthday, you knew it was his birthday.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you could have accidentally forgot, like, why is Rodney so upset about the dishes today? Why is Rodney so mad? It's like, no, you knew it was his birthday. And I think it's the same thing. They would make sure that Will's birthday party was a thing. It was a hashtag at the bottom. Happy birthday, Will. And they would let you know.
What if Will got some sort of a permission slip from his parents to drink on Survivor? Like, what if like Will has cool parents and they said they would let that? Will says, I have a note from my mom that she said I could drink. She said I could do anything that she believes in me.
I mean, Will didn't need a permission slip to play Survivor, I'm guessing. So I don't know if his parents have any clout here with their imaginary permission slips.
Okay.
What if he just showed up and he was like, Jeff, my mom gave me a slip saying I should get an advantage in this, that I get an extra ham sandwich more than Zeke.
Yeah. Well, what if that Will is just like really manipulative and, you know, he couldn't buy alcohol in real life. So he just sort of like, well, I really want to drink, so if I go on Survivor, they'll take me to another country. And if I win a reward, I can at least get drunk there.
That is the most elaborate plot. For once,
hey,
again,
kids do this, Megan.
Do they, Rob? I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure that they go on game shows to get booze when they're not 21.
All right, I'll defer to you again on this, but maybe I'm just out of touch with it. I don't know. I mean, he probably has like a couple months, go to Canada, you know, go to the Great White North where it's 19 in certain places and you'll be fine.
Do you think it's a big disadvantage or it's an advantage that Jeff keeps reminding everybody, Will, hey, you're just 18. He's just 18, everybody.
Somebody hold Will's hand when he goes to the bathroom. Somebody make sure Will comes back.
Keep
okay.
Keep an eye on him. Hey, Taylor and Jay, keep an eye on him.
Taylor's gone. Jay, you now have sole custody of Will.
Yeah.
Do I think it's a disadvantage? I do not think it's a disadvantage because, I mean, because the season is so focused on age that they're almost so beat to death with the age thing that I'm not sure if it impacts them as much. If this was just a regular season and it was like, okay, Will is the outlier here of being the young guy, but here you're dealing with a season where it was based around 50% being young.
Okay. So you think he'll be fine?
I don't think he'll be fine in the game, but I think he'll be fine for his age.
You think that anybody will hold it against him at the final tribal counts if he were to make it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you have people that are voting based on deserving or some other sort of outside of the game factor, people may say, hey, Will hasn't really earned this from a life standpoint. But I think, I think most people try to go with what's in the game.
All right. Let's go back to talking about Adam for a little bit. This is a question that is from Jordan from Vancouver.
Rob, it's Jordan from Vancouver. So 5 + 4 equals out. Then shouldn't Adam have taken a Culpepper lesson and thrown his advantage in the fire as soon as it was exposed at Tribal? Love to hear your thoughts. Peace.
Okay. So what do you think about at Tribal Council last night that at the point that they start talking about Adam's advantage, instead of trying to spin, should he have just taken the thing out and just completely, like Randy's buff, just thrown it directly into the Tribal Council fire?
I mean, did he have it with him? Probably not, because why are you bringing your reward stealer to Tribal Council? But I don't think it's a bad idea. I think we've talked about that. I mean, the family visit, yeah, you can steal that, but probably your best bet is to steal the advantage at the final four advantage, sure, or however you want to call that. That's probably the better place to take it. I think throwing it in the fire would have been a fine idea because it doesn't benefit him in any way to keep it. Do you think so?
It's such a tough spot to be in now because he's almost like trying to argue like, no, it's not even a thing. It's not a big deal. Like, it's not even part of the game. And they were like, no, bro, no, you could steal a reward. You could steal a family visit. That is part of the game. And so I just don't know what he's trying to argue to people about why, you know, he doesn't really have a great case to tell people, no, don't vote me out because I have this thing.
It really has become this kind of silly little advantage that has become a cumbersome burden on him that he almost, it's this dead weight that he's carrying around in the game of, you know, possibly stealing a slice of pizza that really has gotten out of control. And, you know, they're basically, you know, calling him a thief and, you know, you stole my wife coming out here and visiting me. And
wow, you know, this was going in a totally different direction.
No, I don't think you can steal the advantage in that way, saying I'm taking Ken's girlfriend with me.
Hey, no, that's really not cool. Really didn't appreciate that.
Yeah. So, you know, you can't steal anybody's girlfriend or spouse or anything like that. So it's, you know, but really, this has spiraled out of control for Adam.
Completely.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of somebody. I mean, maybe not since like Mike Holloway in Worlds Apart has something like that when he tried to, he didn't put his $20 on the table to get a letter. I mean, that's where we're starting to get to this point where everybody is just on the same page of that. Hey, this is a big problem.
Do you think when Adam said, I have an advantage, that Jessica thought maybe Adam has the same advantage as I do?
Oh, that's interesting. And maybe she thought that. And, you know, she's been lucky that, you know, she told Ken about it and her and Ken have been on the same page. But I mean, that's the problem with telling people about these things, because that, you know, they could have a similar situation if they ever get into a blow up.
Totally.
So I don't know. I don't know what he has to do. Is he in a position where he has to steal somebody's reward the next time out?
He can't give the reward stealer. We don't have a good name for it, do we?
No.
No. Okay. All right. And I don't want to come up with a good name for it either. I don't think it deserves a good name.
But I know we've been making fun of this thing, but it's created so much drama now. It's like the dumbest thing, but it's like, you know, having these little kids where they could fight over anything. I mean, that's what the survivors are like.
Can he give it to someone? Can he give it to, you know, if he wants to? Would Jay want it? Could he say, you know what, Jay? I'm not sure. I mean, he could try to give it away, or you're right. You know, go full Culpepper, toss it in the fire, watch it burn, baby, burn, and, you know, try to redeem your game.
Does that change anything for him if he just burns it in the fire? People are like, okay, I guess Adam's a good guy after all because he burned it in the fire.
No, not at all. People are going to say Adam had an advantage and he didn't tell any of us and he wanted to steal my girlfriend.
Yeah. I wonder, could he steal the advantage and give it to his friend? Like, could he use it and they have the next reward and it's some pizza party and he says, you know what? I'm using the advantage today and I'm giving my friends the pizza.
Probably. He probably could. I mean, I wonder if he can... So let's say on the, you know, barbecue feast cheeseburger pool reward they went on this week, which thank you, Survivor, for using the hashtag reward when they were on the reward. I appreciate them spelling that out.
That was good.
Like when Cass went to Ponderosa and they just said hashtag Cass. I was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Could he have said, you know what, I'm stealing it and I want everyone to go with me? Probably not. They'd shut that stuff down
real
quick. Okay,
not take everybody. Okay, so how about this? So what if he was to, like, steal the reward and then pick the people that had won the reward to go with him, and then he sits there again, like, with Taylor, be like, I'm not eating anything. I'm not going to touch any of this food. This is all for you.
I guess. I don't know if that buys him any goodwill.
Like, I guess he is a good guy.
I mean, poor Brenda for the family visit. It didn't, you know, it doesn't help her out that she had to give up her family visit.
Well, it helped her out, I guess. I guess it didn't help her out with anything except for winning the fan favorite when everybody got mad at Dawn.
Yeah, but Jane also won the fan favorite. So I don't know what that says about
anything.
Why
do you hate Jane so much?
I don't know.
The whole Farty thing?
No, this was pre that. I don't know. I just didn't get her as a player and I just rooted against her. I thought, why is she still here? Why? How does everyone love her? What am I missing? Maybe I'm a little broken in that way. I didn't get Jane.
Okay. Oh boy, I'd love to know some of these other Survivor outliers you have where people that were popular amongst other people, but you just hate them. Were you just a big Marty Piombo fan?
I mean, I do like Marty. Rob, did you like Jane? Was Jane on, you know?
I think I was probably, you know, pretty indifferent, ultimately. I don't remember having a strong take on Jane.
It's not like I was like a staunch Alina fan and was like, oh, you know.
Alina.
Yeah. Like, go, Alina. Yes, Benry. Like, it was just
go
like.
Go, Dirt Squirrel.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know. Okay. Let's go and talk about one of the other players. How about a little Sunday Burquest talk? And okay. Here is a voicemail from Jonah.
Hey, Rob. This is Jonah from Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes and the one and only Sunday Burquest.
Yes.
Being Sunday's biggest fan, I want to get your thoughts on her strategy this week. Will her idea to get out Jessica come to fruition? Does Sunday have what it takes to make it to the end? And if so, is she destined for the losing finalist story, a la Lisa Welchel? Thanks.
Okay. So it was a bit of a coming out party for Sunday last night. Do sure. you feel like that she has what it takes to ultimately make a run?
I think we can definitely see the Sunday Chris Brett final three. I can visually see it. I can see them all there. I thought it was very interesting, this frenemies kind of plot line between her and Jessica. It was something that wasn't really on my radar that, you know, even though she had voted against her, that Jessica kind of held something against Sunday. I do think there's potential here. It's just a matter of when are they pulling the trigger on this, because they are the only group of three out here. Everyone else is kind of in barely groups of two, if they even can find a group of two. And they're the solid group of three here.
are you rooting for Jessica because she is how many hours away from you, would you guess?
Why? Where does Jessica live?
I believe she's from the Albany area.
Oh, really? Oh, I don't know. Like 6 hours? I didn't know that.
Oh, six. Okay, that's far.
Jessica was my winner pick. I will say that.
Okay.
My preseason winner pick. However, I do always come in like the bottom 10% of every fantasy league I play in.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really say much.
I will say that I felt pretty confident that Gen X Jessica wasn't going home because she didn't have a confessional the entire episode. I know we barely heard from Michelle last week, but I was feeling pretty good that it wasn't going to be Jessica because she was just so invisible in the episode.
I think when Jessica goes, I think they're going to remind us of the legacy advantage before she goes. Otherwise, when it shows up in Ken's bag, and I'm just guessing, I don't know. When it shows up in Ken's bag, people aren't just like, well, what just happened? How did Adam's advantage float over here? Where did this come from? Or is Ken just have such great abs that they're just giving him gifts now?
Yes, I think that might be the case. So are you on board on Sunday? Have we been sleeping on Sunday? Sleeping in on Sunday?
I can get on board with her plan. I don't think she's going to win. I don't think it's there, but I can see them trying to get rid of Jessica and Ken and David and trying to work with, you know, the bottom feeders of Jay and Will to possibly combine with them. I can see it. I'm not sure it's going to happen, but I could see it happening.
Do we know exactly what the beef is between Sunday and Gen X Jessica?
I think it's just that Sunday voted for her.
That's it.
I mean, unless if it's just like, oh, there's two blondes.
Gen X Jessica doesn't necessarily, we don't hear her talking about how Sunday sucks.
That's why I'm saying they're total frenemies. And, you know, you like to think that as people get older, that maybe, you know, the mean girl style of I'm friends with you in front of you, but I'm not friends with you behind your back kind of goes away. But I guess not.
Well, does Gen X Jessica even know that Sunday doesn't like her?
I'm not sure. Do they sit? They seem to always be next to each other in a lot of scenes.
There's only three women left on this season and two of them can't get along.
That just happens sometimes, Rob.
Yes. I need to know, how common is this among women?
Oh my gosh. Do not paint me so that I have to be the voice of all women right now. That's too much pressure.
Too much pressure. But yeah, it seems like that Jessica, she's not saying a bad word about Sunday.
I mean, perhaps we're just not seeing it. I don't think that Jessica has anything against Sunday, but also Jessica would be the one who would be holding the resentment here against Sunday. Maybe it's one of these things where I thought that you held the resentment against me, but I didn't. And it just becomes maybe they just haven't talked about it. Maybe they just need to sit down and have some girl talk.
Yes. Now, is it going back to, did Lucy incept Sunday with this idea of, oh, Jessica's the mastermind, that she made us all vote out Paul and we didn't want to?
I mean, I don't think so. I think at this point that so many things have happened that Lucy's influence has dissipated here.
I don't even remember. Was Sunday in on that vote against Paul? Who was it? Was it Cece, Jessica, and Lucy?
I definitely rewatched the season in preparation for this, and good. I have no idea. Okay. Yeah.
It's all kind of vague what was going on at the Gen X tribe before the swap.
I'm sure I have notes about this somewhere, but let's just say, like, we'll figure it out later.
It all blends together. So, yeah, happy to see Sunday come out of her shell because I really thought she was doing nothing. So, you know, it just goes to show you that there is more than ultimately meets the eye in these seasons. But I just don't know necessarily. It seems like such a terrible idea.
It was a coming out party for Sunday. Hannah had a lot of coming out moments, I guess you could say, yesterday or on Wednesday, in good ways or bad. Mm-hmm. But you're right, going back to Sunday, that they're going to break up what they have, which they have really a block of six or seven here that they could really narrow it down. And it may be one of those things where she moves too soon here.
Yes. Do you like what Hannah is doing? Do you like her as a character this season?
She's growing on me. She's definitely growing on me. I did feel bad for her with the schoolyard pick.
Yes.
It was a little rough. I mean, Rob, I played badminton in high school, so I'm clearly an athlete.
Yes.
And I wouldn't have made such silly mistakes because I played, you know, obviously a hardcore and revered sport. Mm-hmm. I love her genuine reactions to things. I loved the, you know, at the Michaela vote when she said, I did not do that. And, you know, yesterday when she went into, you know, I would say, light and safe hyperventilation. Nothing, you know, nothing dangerous or scary.
I couldn't tell if she was laughing or she was like really distressed. She was like you on the plane.
Yeah, she was like me on the plane. I think she was a little distressed. I think that that's kind of her caught off guard, which makes me wonder, is Hannah somebody that could keep a secret? You know, is Hannah somebody that you can really confide in, or does she have too much of a tell? And that's the thing that I'm not sure of.
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, we touched on Ken also briefly, and you mentioned his abs. I know that earlier this season we had Allie Lasher on and she made the case against Ken. Sophie certainly was pro Ken last night. Where do you stand on Ken?
All right. Ken last night. So I want to thank Allie because she really brought out, shed some light on the Ken might be just totally off the wall here. Mm-hmm. So Ken last night wins immunity and he has no reaction whatsoever. They get back to the tribe. They get back to the island and everyone's high-fiving him, saying like, great job, Ken. Great job, Ken. All he says is, my knee hurts. Mm-hmm. He has no reaction whatsoever. And I kind of think Ken might be a little bit of a poser.
Poser? No, yes. Like John Fincher?
Maybe.
John Fincher is a poser.
Yes. Okay.
Have you checked out Ken on Twitter?
No, I have not. Why? Is it worthwhile? I mean, I feel like that we touched on it earlier. I remember this season where he started talking about all of my fans are so really awesome. But I don't remember anything else from him this season. You want me to look him up?
Yes, look him up. Because okay. I think there's a case to be made here that he's a little bit of a poser.
Okay. All right. So Ken Mick. I don't know how to spell Ken McNichol. Okay. So he is on Twitter. He is at Ken of the Jungles.
Yes, that is my number one point for that he's a poser. So he's all about the English language and he's loving it. He spells jungles with a Z.
Okay.
Then if you look at some of his tweets, even his first one, who's got some graphic design skills with a Z?
Right, right. So what happened to the language? You need to spell out Y-O-U with the poetry.
If you keep scrolling down somewhere along the way, he uses like hashtag Nuff said, N-U-F-F. He has another one hustle. And, you know, I'm sure he was doing something great. Hustling for the homeless. Hustling, H-U-S-T-L-I-N. I'm not sure what his deal is here. I'm very confused.
You're right. He's on the one hand, he's preaching about vinyl. He's preaching about spelling out the words. And now here he is trying to be all millennial.
Yeah, maybe he's like, I have to try. Jeff Probst. I talked to Jeff Probst. Jeff Probst says that all the kids, all the millennials who are really all in their 20s and 30s are spelling things with a Z.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying Nuff said. And it maybe Jeff Probst pushed his influence on him a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. So Jeff talked to him and said, this is what you need to be doing. I mean, he was the youngest of the Gen Xers.
Yeah. And at preseason, we kind of talked about him doing what Zeke has ended up doing, which is, oh, Ken is young enough where he's going to be able to, you know, mix in with the millennials. But really, and even in the secret scenes, everyone's just talking about his like bad knees and Ken's not, you know, Ken's an older person. And I was really surprised by that.
Yeah. Now, do you think that Ken spells abs with a Z?
Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So more on that to come and we'll see. We'll follow Ken's online spelling. Maybe it's only via text message. Maybe he feels like on the Twitters, I need to be when in Rome.
This is his Twitter persona.
Yes, he has a Twitter persona, but that would make him a poser, right?
This is like a think piece, maybe.
A think piece.
Like his Twitter is like some sort of a case study that he's using to go back, you know, I'm not sure. Or maybe when he goes back off the grid, he's like, I had to try a little bit of everything because life is about experiences.
So maybe he's just, you know, not killing it in the confessional. I think that maybe he's probably not talking in a way that is very conducive to the soundbite.
Do you think he's happy? He never looks like, where do you think Ken finds his joy? Because he, every time I see him, even when he won immunity, just very stoic, you know, even when he had his fancy cocktail, you know, nothing seems to make him happy yesterday.
Poor Ken. Poor Ken. I hope he cheers up. But maybe, I mean, is this a thing where that, you know, women are looking for somebody who is a little more dour?
Oh, kind of the brooding bad boy.
Yes. Like I talked about with Josh Wiggler, the Dylan McKay.
Yes. Oh, Rob, you are speaking to my heart with the 90210 talk.
Yes.
As somebody who would never be cool enough to date Dylan McKay, would always end up with Brandon Walsh and, you know.
Oh,
would
like be that's some consolation prize.
I would love the Brandon Walsh, but it's just one of those things that, like, you know, even though I'm with Brandon and I'm happy and, you know, he's doing a nice job writing his newspaper and all those things and he's going to Congress.
The Bugle,
it's like,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And what would it be like to be with Dylan McKay and ride in his Porsche and, you know, go to Mexico with him? And now we've really once again gone off the beaten path.
Okay.
But I will let, so once again, I'm a millennial who loves Beverly Hills 90210. I do have all 10 seasons on DVD and would be happy to rent them out to anybody who wants to watch them, millennials, because you're truly missing out on, you know, some greatness right there. Yeah.
Rent out DVDs. Boy, what kind of millennial are you?
One who bought a lot of DVDs and now doesn't know what to do with them, Rob.
Okay. Speaking of going off the rails, let's check in with Millennial Anthony, who has a question for you. Did you watch the Ponderosa video?
I did, okay. Yes.
All right. This is what Millennial Anthony's question is about.
Hey there, Rob. This is Millennial Anthony calling, and I have a question about the Ponderosa video. Who do you guys think had the best haircut in 2016? Taylor, your boy Paul, or Polly Calafiore? Thank you.
All right. So Taylor got a haircut from Michelle at Ponderosa. What did you think? How did she do?
I thought she did a really good job. I don't know, because Taylor was like, Michelle is really good at puzzles, so she should be able to cut my hair.
Yeah, that's a
like,
one-to-one.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure those two things go together, but que sera, sera, I guess.
Yeah. So there you go. So she would put the puzzle together of Taylor's hair, and she did a good job, and he had the man bun going like his hero Joey Amazing,
and they were getting very like metaphorical with it. They're like making some of the hairs like Adam, and they're getting kind of deep with their hair cutting story.
Yeah, they were gonna cut the hairs that weren't in the alliance. So it did remind me though of, I believe that was the same haircut that Pauly Calafiore did get during this summer on Big Brother.
Yes, that was a similar chop job.
Yeah. So who wore it better?
Taylor wore it better.
Taylor wore it better.
And that's just the fact that Polly's not going to win. Then I'm sorry, Polly. Take your hairbrush and go home. Go back to stage and go back to Bruno Mars. And I'm not going to let you win today.
Wow.
My brother, Cody.
Yeah. All right. Here's a question for you, Megan, from the great Umberto.
Hey, Rob and Megan. I'm so happy you're doing this, Megan.
Aww.
I just wanted to talk about the same four people that we see making the decisions each week. It's going to Chris, Brett, David, and Zeke. For the past 2 weeks, we have seen how those four people get together to start making the decisions who they're going to get voted out. What I'm asking is, out of those four, they don't realize that they are each other's biggest threats? Are they planning to go to the end together? All right, let me know what you think.
All right, so do you agree first with Humby's assessment that these are the four people that call the shots?
I think they're part of the group, but I think it's a bigger group that's working together. I think Sunday often wiggles her way in there.
Not a lot of wiggle room, though.
Not a lot of wiggle room, so I've heard.
There really is very little wiggle room.
Yes.
Thanks, Jeff. I think Ken is in there a little bit. I think there's a lot of groupthink going on right now. And I don't think there's one person that you can point to as they're calling all the shots. I know with Chris, the thing that's frustrating me is he reminds me a little bit of Tyler from Worlds Apart, not just because they both have red hair. I'm just feel like I'm waiting for him to do something. I'm waiting for his coming out party, but he's laying low and he's doing kind of what he's supposed to do. I mean, he made a good decision by playing in the immunity challenge because he's a big guy. And even though he knew he probably wasn't going to win, he needs to show people, hey, I'm not a threat at these kind of yoga Pilates, Yolades challenges that are going on.
Yeah.
What do you think of Chris?
I mean, Chris was my winner pick coming into the season, and I haven't seen anything that's making me say, boy, I really regret that. I mean, I do feel like when push comes to shove, I think that he's probably too big of a threat as opposed to these other people that are out there in terms of just from a sheer size. But I mean, Brett's still there. And so, you know, you still have a couple of these other guys like Ken and like Jay. So I do think that he's okay in that regard. So I think that he's actually done a very good job.
And I think when pivoting to David, I think David really benefits from Adam still being around, because David used to have the arc of David's not trustworthy. And they even mentioned it a little bit about, you know, what's David really thinking or who David's with. And I think Adam supersedes him for a lot of people. So I think Adam's a good buffer for David to have around.
Yeah, I would think that the biggest problem for David is if this Sunday plan comes together, because if that ultimately ends up happening, you know, she is taking out the Gen X majority. It's also that he is attached to Ken and Jessica, who are also on her hit list, and then it's keeping in some of the millennials like Will and Jay and Hannah, who he doesn't necessarily have contacts with from before the swap. So I think that that's probably the biggest danger to his game right now.
Completely. Yeah, that's where he gets in a little trouble there.
So he's got to make sure that that doesn't ultimately end up happening. I got one more question for you, Megan. And okay. This is from somebody who is doing a really terrible impression of Jonathan Tanner.
Excellent.
Rob, what is going on with this Brett from Boston? He's out there getting faded. I thought that's what the kids were supposed to be doing.
Get faded.
Yeah. What do you think about that? What do you think about, first off, what do you think about that not so good Jonathan Tanner impression?
Could have been worse. So I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5 stars.
3.5 out of 5 stars. That's great. Yeah. All right.
If I have stars to give, you know.
Yes. But who knew that even Gen Xers are going out there and getting faded?
Yeah. I mean, Brett just, he went to town on those fancy cocktails. And you know, maybe he was just, you know, he really just seemed to enjoying himself out there with the cocktails. And Rob, what was with those burgers? Why were they so big? Did they not seem like it was like a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids scenario with these burgers?
Why? How big were the burgers? I didn't notice anything with the burgers.
They were ginormous. Or maybe something's wrong with the resolution on my TV. I don't think so. But they were giant. It was so oddly out of proportion because these burgers were huge and they had so much food at the reward. Yet at the immunity eat or compete challenge, there was like 7 sandwiches. So mm-hmm. If like 3 or 4 people decided to sit out, you were getting like 1.5, 2 sandwiches and some chips. I don't know. The burgers were huge though. Go back and look at it.
Go back and take a look to see just how big the burgers ultimately were. I did feel like that we were headed towards like a Judd Sargent Guatemala type getting wasted performance. That might be a good off-season podcast of the, you know, top 10 drunkest survivor moments.
Oh, what about Helen when she gets drunk?
Yeah, what does she do?
Doesn't she just like, oh gosh, for some reason, I just like visually can remember her just like getting back into the shelter when she's drunk. That's a good one.
I remember Brian getting very drunk. I remember Big Ted getting very drunk. I remember Jan getting very drunk. I think, is Thailand the booziest season?
I don't know. We haven't seen the rest of these couple episodes.
I guess so. Yeah, but this is really on its way to being a pretty boozy season.
Do you have a favorite moment off the top of your head you can think of? Favorite boozy moment?
Judd does get really drunk and belligerent in Guatemala. Also, Rupert gets really hammered in the All-Stars. Butch was like throwing up.
That has an unfortunate ending.
Yeah, that's a really sad story. in terms of that. That's a bunch of things from the older seasons. I'm trying to remember the last Survivor that just got really wasted. I don't think it's been a thing too much in recent seasons.
No, perhaps not.
I mean, Big Tom would get really drunk also in the All-Stars, like in one of the crates that we opened on All-Stars. Like, we got like the airdrop crate. There was like a thing of whiskey in the thing. And like, they were like, Boston Rob was like, we should do a shot before the challenge. And maybe that's ultimately what happened when they were trying to put that puzzle together. And when an episode that I got voted out, but you know, Big Tom, like, and then I think it's like the episode after I get voted out where they're like building the raft and he's just like hammered and Suhawk, like, oh yeah, Big Tom. He's wasted. He's a drunk.
But only you, Rob, have been lucky enough to get the coveted fisheye lens after drinking.
Yes. Yes. I mean, that was just like, I had like four Coors Lights. I mean, that wasn't like any like hard alcohol or anything. Johnny Fairplay gets really drunk in Pearl Island. So that'd be a good, I think, off-season little trek to see the drunkest survivors of all time. On the island.
On the island. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah, one other thing with Brett after he got faded at the reward challenge. Then he did tweet today to me and Sophie wanting to know if he got the fishy for getting drunk.
I don't think that's quite how it works.
Yeah, he wanted it. I said, no, you had to catch that fish to get a fishy. What was he going to do with why would he put a fish in somebody's drink?
People do that, Rob. Haven't you ever been to a wedding where there's like fish in the centerpieces?
I've seen Jeff Probst make a smoothie with a fish in it.
Yes, I've seen that too.
Okay. All right, let's get into some of the Survivor social media. Hit it, Ryan Elder.
Tweets, baby, tweets, Survivor tweets. They're better than eating a date. No way, that's a peach.
Good job by Ryan Elder, as usual.
Is it because they've merged that now it's not millennial tweets anymore?
I'm not sure. I think I had said something about why was it always Gen X tweets, and then he made it millennial tweets. So he goes back and forth. So that's how talented he is, the great at Ryan Elder Music.
Also, do you have any hot takes on the Merge Tribe name?
Yeah, I think that my hot take is that it was so lame that Survivor didn't even give us like a scene or a secret scene. They just sort of low key just started putting it up on the bottom of the screen.
I think because nobody even memorized them, they split into three tribes what the names were.
Yeah,
maybe you did, but
Ikabula, Vanua, and then the other one.
The one that starts with a T, right?
Something like that. Yeah. So, yeah, what is the name of this new merge tribe?
I think it's Vinaka or Vinaka, or I mean, I could keep going if Vinegar. You want me to take other guesses.
Let me see. If I go to my emails and I try to find my notes that I wrote from last, I think I did write it down so we could say, but really, they just sort of like yada yada the merge name.
I think it's Vinaka. And maybe the AKA is from Takali. Maybe that's it.
Oh, it's they did one of these jumbles here. Vinaka, Vinaka.
See, I think you would have liked it more if you remembered all the other tribe names, or you wouldn't have liked it because now you know it's a mixture of different names.
I'm not sure what the other tribe name was, but you do have a V for Vanua. It ends with an A for Ikabula, but it's a stretch. It's a stretch, and it's not memorable. Sorry. What should they have called this tribe?
I mean, to be honest, I'd rather have this than some sort of like other horrible clickbait title like Millennials versus Gen X, Ugga Bug. I mean, what would it have been like, you know, just like a French? Well, it can't be friendship. That's already been taken.
No, please. No more friendship.
No more friendship.
Should it have been something like
Unity? It would have been awful, Rob. Rob, it would have been terrible. Let's not even think about it.
Mill Generation. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Or like Generation Bridge or like, you know, we are the world. We are the children. We are the one. I mean,
yeah, they should name the merge tribe after a player one season. They should just say remember Lucy. We should just be like the Lucy tribe.
Are you saying that should be what they do this season or like two seasons from now? They should be like, remember Lucy from Millennials versus Gen X? Let's just call it Lucy. Like, should this have been like the Alex Angarita tribe? Like, we're just going to call this Angarita.
Hey, when in Fiji.
I think they could have gotten away with calling Angarita. It Angarita.
Yeah. Yeah. Who would remember that? Who would say, no, 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 we're not calling it that.
I don't think anybody would. I think the survivors would barely remember.
That's my challenge to a Survivor fan who's out there, who one day is playing on the show and listen to this voicemail. Like, name the Merge Tribe name after a really not well-known Survivor player's last name.
What's Edgardo's last name?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. I'd have to look it up. Okay. All right. So especially and double points if you can have it be somebody from that same country of origin that has already played a Survivor season where you currently are.
This is why people just merge all the pre-merge names together. These rules are too difficult we've come up with.
Yes, yes, yes. So some future Survivor in Samoa will be like, our merge tribe name is Trimming.
Trimming tribe. It's feckless.
Okay. All right. Here's some Survivor tweets for you. At Zeker Chief tweeted out, for the record, the beer was Fiji Gold. I drank a whole pitcher.
Yeah. In one of the secret scenes, he says he doesn't even like beer, but he had to, out of respect, drink it.
I don't even like beer.
It was out of respect.
Yeah. You know, Zeke has to cool it with the binge drinking.
I could binge, baby.
No, Zeke, stop it. That's a bad, you're a bad role model for Will.
To be fair, he did pour it in glasses.
Classy.
He could have went, hey, there's two of us. Sorry, Wills, you're not going to get any of this. I'm just going to go full pitcher right now. Mm-hmm. But he kept it classy.
Yeah,
I respect
he kept it
that.
Classy. So you appreciate the fact he didn't just drink straight from the pitcher.
I mean, would I have liked to have visually seen him like Gatorade style after a championship, put the beer all over him? Perhaps. But no, I respect Zeke. I think Zeke's a classy guy and I'm good with that.
He's just like one of Jay's friends.
One of my homies from home, like get drunk, have fun and go with the flow.
Yeah, just get drunk, have fun, go with the flow.
Also, you are not surprised at all that Taylor nailed the ladder ball challenge because you know he's out at like barbecues every weekend playing ladder golf.
Ladder golf?
Isn't that what it's called? What Taylor?
I've never heard of this. What is ladder golf?
Ladder golf, where there's like the three different like lines, and it's like a ladder, and you throw it's like golf balls on a string. It's exactly what they did. It's
Jeff
like a
Probst
like
tells me this is called bolo tossing.
All right, well, Jeff Probst stole it from like a graduation party of a high school student because that's like a game that people play.
Yeah, you know, I actually that one other voicemail that I wanted to play. This is a quick one. Let me just get your take on this.
What's up, Rob, Megan? Syrup Guy calling from Canada. Is this the first time Jeff has done an impression of one of the cast members at Tribal Council? And Rob, is he giving you a run for your money with his Taylor impression? Thanks, guys.
So did you think that Jeff did much of a Taylor impression?
No, I was so distracted by Jeff bringing up the participation trophy again.
Oh, he really shoehorned that in there like a trophy.
I really was like, oh no, like we're back to this again. Let it go. Like, does Jeff take all of his kids' participation trophies and throws them out the window? Like, I'm shutting this down.
We don't do this. Not in our house.
Speaking of Jeff, Rob, did you by any chance watch the like behind the scenes of the challenge video?
No, I didn't watch that.
Okay, Rob, Jeff, now you know how we always comment on like Jeff looks really young and everything. Jeff is out there in a full babushka with like a scarf over his head and like a hat on him. It was so jarring to see him talking about the challenge in like a full babushka.
Like he was cold?
No, like he was trying to protect himself from the sun so he doesn't get any wrinkles.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, that's smart. That's smart.
That is smart.
So I did pull the clip of this was Jeff doing an impression of Taylor, but it's a very half-hearted impression, I think.
Jessica, do you think what Taylor is expressing is millennial? That idea that you just say, well, yeah, I did it. And, you know, here's why, man. And it's all good.
Yeah. So I did it. Whatever. You know,
Rob, which impression was better? That one or the Penner one we just heard?
Hey, yeah, so what? I'm Jonathan Penner. So what are these guys getting to get faded for, right? That was bollocks, Jeff, and you know it. This is another tweet that comes from Sophie Clark. who did not mention this last night, but she said, take the food. I did this challenge and I remember the food was super tasty.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. T-Bird, she had a lot to say during this episode. Did you like the T-Bird recap a couple of weeks ago?
Wow, Rob, it was definitely different than what I expected.
Yeah.
It was very fired up. Yes, very fired up. I can appreciate her enthusiasm. Yes.
So here's what T-Bird had to say. She gets very defensive. She's always like standing up for the survivors on Twitter. Maybe she's worried that they're being bullied.
Well, she heard that's a thing and she's got to police the internet.
Yeah. So she starts off with Hannah. At Hannah Lil Neeson, not a goat. You better know it, girl. Definitely showing a winner's at it. Wow, T-Bird.
I heard T-Bird's really into edgic.
She is.
She's
very into it. She said, cheeseburgers, fries, and cocktails, color me in. She also thinks Adam playing a little too hard. She says, Adam Scott Klein playing too aggressive. Yes, pull back a little, my friend.
I don't disagree with that one, you know.
Yeah. Although it wasn't all praise for the survivors. There was one survivor that she was down on, she said, and did not. She was a subtweet from T-Bird.
Oh.
She subtweeted, Tay, a rat and a thief, you will not last long in this game. I don't know if he had actually been voted out at that point.
Was it post-vote out? Because I don't think you're allowed to do that. Is she one of these people that like starts the show 20 minutes later so she can DVR through the commercials?
Maybe. She's got a whole system. Okay. At Bryce Isaiah, he said, fish margaritas, anyone? So he was into it.
Good.
That was a garnish that he was into. Yeah. Darnell Hamilton, at King Darnell 32, he said, for real though, Taylor, petty AF for stealing that food.
I mean, was Darnell hungry enough to know what it's like to be hungry on Survivor?
Yes. Yes, he was hungry. He was okay. Hungry.
Rob, I know what it's like to be hungry. I moved a little bit ago, a couple weeks ago, and for 2 days, all I had in my house was champagne and syrup. And so I can relate to what it's like to be as hungry as Darnell.
Did you combine them?
No, I didn't combine them. I didn't eat them. But
why did you have so much champagne?
Because I had just moved. So people had brought me champagne to celebrate. And the syrup, short story shorter, I had to buy something at a craft show. So I bought syrup instead of something made of popsicle sticks and, those fuzzy pom-pom balls. So I just bought syrup. So that's what left me with champagne and syrup.
Did you only buy the syrup because it was edible?
Because it was edible? I mean, I'm sure it's going to be fine. I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah. Okay. Darnell also said, we went from a showmance to a foodmance. Just stop. He doesn't like the foodmance.
Well, the foodmance could leave to the Joe Del Campo. So
yes. Yeah.
Gotta be careful how intimate you get with your food.
That's right. So Eliza, that she was apparently in Australia with hanging out with Australian survivors. Megan, did you watch the Australian Survivor?
I sure did.
Yes. And you were into it?
I went in ebbs and flows with it. There were times I was into it and times I thought, what am I doing with my life? But I'm glad I went through the journey of it.
Okay. All right. So Eliza, yeah, she's hanging out with like Flick and Phoebe in Australia, but she still had time to tweet about the episode. She said, all caps, I do not approve of choosing to eat over competing. Parentheses, in case anyone didn't know my feelings on the matter.
Is there anybody who follows Eliza that didn't know that already?
Maybe she has some new followers.
Rob, out of curiosity, would those followers know what her thoughts are on throwing a challenge?
Yes. Well, thank God that hasn't come up.
Okay. All right. Maybe next episode, because I really feel like her new followers are misled if they don't know what her MO is on some of the stuff.
Yes. Eliza was also mad. She says, is he in effing Vibrams? I hate him even more now.
I did notice the Vibrams and think, if Taylor wins with these Vibrams and right Woo won with the Vibrams, that maybe, I'm certainly not a runner. As I mentioned before, badminton was the only sport I was playing in high school. But maybe maybe it's the way to go. Rob, do you have Vibrams?
No, I had to Google what a Vibram was. I was like, what is she talking about? Who has a Vibram? What is a Vibram?
What did you think it was?
I don't know. I thought that from the context, she says, is he in effing Vibrams. I'm like, is that like some program? I don't know. Is it like a religion or something like that? I guess kind of. So, you know, it's the like running shoe that looks like a glove for your foot.
Yes. Okay. That's the one.
That's so Eliza is also in on Team Ken. She says Ken just gets hotter and hotter.
His abs were very defined yesterday.
Yes.
Like freakishly defined.
Freakishly defined.
Yes.
So there you go. That boy, that Ken really has the whole wine and cheese crew. Maybe everybody just swooning over Ken.
What can you say? He's a, well, he's not a legend in the making. What am I talking about?
No. Maybe. Confessionals, but the abs just keep getting better.
Abs keep getting better. Follow Ken. Ken of the jungles.
Jungles. Okay. Coach was back. Could you believe last week when Coach said he wanted to punch Taylor?
Can I believe it? Yes, I can believe yes. it. But
yes.
Do I approve? Probably not.
Coach, boy, he's such a hater with Taylor and Figs. He said, best quote of the season, at Taylor Stalker, we're going but a sailboat. Hopefully have some adventures. Taylor and Figs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Rob, who do you like better? Which Survivor couple? Do you like Weef or Figtails? What's your official call here on the couple you like better?
Friend of the podcast, Whitney and Keith, or Taylor and Figgy? I mean, I feel like I'd say in a vacuum, I feel like that at least on a one-to-one basis, like maybe Taylor and Figgy aren't talking to each other, but at least separately they're talking to me. So I would say that my pick might be Figtails.
Okay. That's not a bad pick. I would agree with you on that. Yeah. I was just curious.
I'm like the third wheel.
You are.
Yeah. So how about that? I'm like,
rock on.
Congratulations.
Yeah. The person in the middle.
You're like the mediator. You're like, they're like, oh, like they're going to come to you and be like, Taylor will be like, I really want to text Figgy. Should I do it? And then you have to be in that awkward spot of making the call of yeah. should he do it or not?
Should he text Figgy? I would say no. I'd say what good can come from this? Yeah, don't do it.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah.
Prove that.
Yeah.
I would love to get Francesca's as the relationship expert.
Yes. Okay. She can be on the call also.
She can be on the call.
Yes.
We'll bring her in.
Gen X Jerv, he had a lot to say about the episode. He said, the fact it was a schoolyard pick and Purple had all the muscle goes to show you that the millennials had no idea what that phrase means.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess that the millennials are not really on top of the schoolyard pick.
No, it's not the millennials. It was just Hannah. And perhaps maybe she had never done the schoolyard pick. Maybe, you know, maybe she just didn't realize how heavy, that block was going to be or the chest was going to be.
Yeah. It's possible also she was never in the position of being the person picking people in the schoolyard pick.
Why, Rob? What position do you think she was in the schoolyard pick?
That I don't know. Do they do schoolyard pick anymore for millennials?
I remember some schoolyard picks.
Yeah. Okay.
We were never in like a yard. We were always in like a gym.
Yeah.
But maybe in like some wherever these yards are, that's where they're happening.
Jervis also said, I'm sitting out and eating. F that challenge.
Well, he's a coconut bandit, of course.
Yes. Also, Jervis is on Team Megan. He says, look at the size of those burgers. I want one.
They were huge.
Yes. Yes.
Their guys are huge.
Okay. One of the great mysteries of this season that we talked about that at Tails Stalker was only following two people earlier this season. Haley Strong first caught this. At one point, it was just the NRA and Troyzan. Since then, at Tails Stalker dropped the NRA and picked up Leonardo DiCaprio, but kept Troyzan. So he is following two people, and they are Leo and Troyzan.
I think that's a good move.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think there's probably some connective tissue between Leo and Troyzan. I think that probably by way of that they probably know some of the same people.
You mean some of the same models?
Yes. I feel like that you could just like, I believe that they probably, there's only one degree of separation between Troyzan and Leo. Is that what Tails is doing? Is he trying to get to Leo?
I mean, you know, you could take the high road here and say it's because of Leo wants, you know, deals with global warming and Greenpeace and all those things. But no, you're right. I think it's the models.
Yeah.
I think it's the base on the yacht.
Snowboarding. And so if there's no snow, he can't snowboard.
That's true.
Yeah. So at Troy underscore Zan, who is not a regular contributor to the Survivor tweets, he said, oh man, just when the fun is getting started, the most entertaining castaway goes home at Tail Stalker. You're a classic Survivor, bro. Wow.
Troy Zan's looking to take over the J spot in that relationship.
He's trying to move in. All right. And yeah, that's actually one other at Hey Snowy said, tough to win Survivor being a D-I-C-K and a douche. So who knew Snowy is a casual?
I was going to say Snowy's using the secret password.
He's like, yeah, I read that on Survivor Facebook. Taylor is a douche.
That's what all the fans are saying.
That's what they're saying on the Survivor Facebook page. And that is what Snowy is saying as well. All right. Well, Megan, this was so much fun to go through all of the feedback from this week's episode through 9 episodes of Survivor this season. Next week, we're going to get 2 episodes on the night before Thanksgiving. And then after that, I think we're like, what, like 21 days away from the finale? I mean, we are less than a month away from the finale of this, and we still have 11 people left in the show.
Home stretch. Watch out. Heads are getting cut.
Yeah. So we'll get rid of 2 people on the 23rd, and then that'll get us down to the final 9. There'll be an episode on the 30th that'll get us down to 8. And then, I mean, we've got to get rid of 2 people in one show, because on the 2nd, we'll get down to 7, 6, 5. Maybe not. I guess there's enough time. There's a lot of Wednesdays that are still there. There's still... 2 more shows or 3 more episodes that are going to be technically in November. So I guess we can fit it all in. Who knows?
They'll make it work. They won't be on the finale and be like, you guys, we just forgot.
We didn't plan for this. We don't know what to do.
We thought somebody was going to die at one of the reward challenges. We always plan for somebody's medevac here.
You have to split the money. All right. Megan, do you have any ideas for the hashtag?
Let's think. What are some of the things?
The only thing that I have is the hashtag fig sales.
Fig sales. The only other. Yeah, I think that's a good one. I think that's good.
We'll go with that. That is the name of the boat that one day Taylor may buy.
And you'll get to go with him, I think.
Yeah, well, I think that the only chance that this boat has to happen, I think, is if I get involved.
Yeah, and don't forget, you'll have to buy lots of life vests because everybody's children are going to come on the boat.
Yes.
And maybe Leo's models are going to come, too. It's going to be quite the event.
I feel like I see a lot of pictures of Leo, like, partying on a boat.
Oh, yeah, that's his thing. He's always in, like, some remote country or some remote place in Europe, and he's on a boat.
Yeah, so I don't know. Is it going to happen?
Unlikely.
But who knows?
You never know.
You never know. All right, well, this was lots of fun to go through all this. I'm glad this was able to work out, Megan.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I had a good time.
Meg is on Twitter. That you are at Meg Wants to Know?
Yep, that's right.
All right, at Meg Wants to Know. Megan, next week we have a jam-packed show for the double episode. I confirmed it this week. Tyson Apostle, Tyson Cast coming up next Friday, Black Friday, they call it.
Are you going to beat the record? Who knows? Stay tuned.
I don't know. I think it's, are we going to beat the record?
Unlikely.
Yeah, probably not. I think that the record, you know, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of like almost 4.5 hours, came at a time when I think that Dominic was born at that point, but it was like, you know, there wasn't as much to do. Like, he was like just a little baby. And I definitely didn't have 2 kids, and Tyson didn't definitely have a kid at the time.
Too busy, 2 podcasts.
Right. If you're going to break a podcasting record, I think it's hard to do that with, you know, small enough kids that at some point you need to be called into at some point being a parent. Taylor will learn this.
Yeah, and you need to watch out and make sure those kids aren't just pulling the wig off Sia, and that's what we call a callback.
Yeah, or Cochran.
Yeah.
That's right. So I think we probably won't break the record, but excited to talk Survivor with Tyson. I have no idea what he's thinking about this season, so we'll talk to him next week on the podcast. And so we'll have the know-it-alls Wednesday night. Steven will be back, and then we'll talk about everything with him after the two-hour Survivor. And then nothing on Thursday because of Thanksgiving here in the United States. And then on Friday, I will talk to Tyson, and hopefully we'll get that up for you guys as soon as possible. And then the exit interview is going to be a double exit interview coming up on the Monday following that Thanksgiving weekend. So be on the lookout for that. That's Cyber Monday, that Monday the 28th.
Should people go to Amazon.com, Rob?
I mean, hey, it's a great idea if you're looking to get some great deals on all sorts of different things. You want to get the rush on or get the jump on all of these gifts you have to buy for people anyway for the holidays. A great thing to do is to check out all the deals on Amazon.com and use our link. RobHasAWebsite.com/Amazon. I would greatly do appreciate that. All right. So Megan, and then lots of fun podcasts coming up the rest of the way as well, including all of the stuff, the finale of BBOTT coming up in about 2 weeks as well.
So many fun things. It's just ready for the holiday season of RHAP podcast.
Yes. And then Megan, before we know it, it's going to be January and the new Celebrity Apprentice is starting.
Dreams come true. It's back, baby.
Yes. Yes. The new Celebrity Apprentice. And boy, it's such a controversial new Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah. I've already forgot the cast since they filmed like 6 years ago now.
They did film a while back, but it's going to be very interesting to see how that all plays out. So looking forward to bringing you guys those podcasts in, as we like to say, in terms of January 2017, what off season? Okay. All right. So great stuff. Again, Megan, thank you so much. Thank you guys so much for listening, and looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments on robswebsite.com. Take care. Bye.